I've never done this.
You have to turn it off.
Hello? Yes, thank you, Phyllis. My name is Mark, and I am a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Mark.
Thank you. And somebody just shared, they said they had no intention of being here at Unity Day. Well, quite honestly, neither did I. But I knew as intergroup chair of North Jersey Intergroup, it's only correct that I be here. So I pried myself off the Fort Lauderdale Beach on Thursday, and here I am. I know, so I'll have a couple of less days of cancerous rays. But the workshop is Principles Above Personalities. It's Tradition 12, which reminds us, I'm going to read it and then expand a little on it. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. That encapsulates it all. Basically, who I am, where I am, and where I'm headed, this is a journey. I'm not there yet. I am a compulsive overeater. I've been in this God-given program since August 31st, 1978. I have over 35 years of back-to-back keep coming back. I'm keeping off close to 100 pounds for the years, the 30-plus years I'm in these rooms. I'm still in the same size pants as I was 34 years ago, 35 years ago. It's a work your ass off program. It's giving service. It's doing anything I can do to stay stopped one more day. That's it. That's all I have today. You know, briefly, my history. I was born into a family of compulsive overeaters. I can blame my mother, my father, my grandparents, my great-grandparents. I can trace it back to Adam and Eve. The fact of the matter is, I'm wired for this disease. That's it. When I look at some of my pictures as a young kid, as a baby, I was like a young kid. I was like to my mother, how could you do this to me? Crew cut, pants, shorts. I mean, here I look like Spanky and the Little Rascals. I can laugh at it now. And I said to my mother sometimes, and you know, she was in program, in and out of program for years. And she'd say, you know what? I couldn't take care of myself. How could I take care? I did the best I could. Compulsive overeaters. You know, when I was born, my parents owned a luncheonette in Brooklyn. My first day after school job was Carvel. Then it was Wallbound's deli appetizing counter. And hence went my disease, you know, full circle. My father came from a family of bakers. You know, granted, it's in my genes, literally and figuratively. But when I came into program, I realized I was a compulsive overeater. I learned it was a disease, and I'm not crazy. I'm not willful. Willpower, I had none. You know, when people sit today, they still don't get it. You know, when I'm speeding to my OA meeting on a Monday night or a Friday night or a Saturday morning, and it's a big book meeting and I have the big book on my seat, if a cop pulls me over, I'm going to an AA meeting. Because I think they'll understand it. But if I said to him, racing to my OA meeting, he would laugh, he would chuckle, and I'd probably still get the ticket. Yeah. You know, that's part of this program. I still can't own up to it. It's an anonymous program. I want it for the first time, and I've been doing this 30, I'm in this program more than half my life. It's very scary. I came in when I was about 19. Very scary. I just turned 55 in November. Where did all the years go? You know, I'm in a phase of my development. You know, a new phase of our development. One of the promises, you know, we'll be amazed before we are halfway through. Well, I finished my career. I started as a teacher, and now when administrator, I'm done. I'm out. April Fool's Day. How appropriate. I'm retired. It's amazing. But I got through this because of program. I grew up, I became the man that I am, I became the adult I am because of these rooms. If I was still into the food, if I was still eating compulsively, if I was still 100 pounds overweight, granted, I would not be here. This program gave me the ability to talk in front of a group of people. As a teacher, you're always in front of the classroom. As an administrator, I was in front of staff meetings or whatever. It's this program that gave me the ability to move forward. And I'm grateful. A lot of my friends stayed. They were classroom teachers. They were miserable, complaining. When I started teaching back in the most impoverished areas of Brooklyn, about that time, a lot of the male teachers were all Vietnam people. They opted to become teachers rather than go to war. But they were miserable. They were in this system 10 years. They hated it, but they couldn't get out of it because they were earning a decent living. They had children and everything. And I was there, and I'm like, here I am, a new teacher, and I'm listening to this negativity. So I stopped eating in the lunchroom with them. I stopped eating in the lunchroom because teachers are always on diets. Everybody has a new Tupperware. Everybody's discussing this. I couldn't. You know, teachers and egg salad. I don't know what it is about it. And Tupperware, that's all you see. You know, so I had to get out. So I found some friends. We stayed in our own rooms. I was a resource room teacher. So we stayed in our own rooms, and the three of us, and we just, you know, had our lunch, abstinent lunch or whatever. But that's what you have to do. So where has it brought me? It's brought me a great weight loss. It's brought me a growth, a recovery. It's brought me some sanity. It's working the steps has given me the ability to practice these principles in all my affairs. You know, in the early days I was in program, I was at home, living at home, and I get an OA phone call and I, you know, be nasty to my parents and slam the door. My mother say, do you treat your OA friends like this? Probably not. And I didn't. And today, I love you, we all love each other, we accept, we nod, we understand each other, but as soon as I get on the Garden State Parkway, how am I going to act? For years I would go to the Concord Convention, weekend of recovery, 2,800 people, loving, sharing, caring, dancing, having a good time, abstinent. The minute I got on Route 17 and somebody cut me off, what came out of my mouth? Or what road rage came in? Where was my program? I had just had a weekend of recovery. And here I am, the first yo-yo or first person that gets on my nerves, I lose it. So by working these steps, I have to realize what I learn in these rooms, what I get in these rooms, I have to practice in the outside world. Because the real world is not like we are. Whether you're online at ShopRite, whether you're on the turnpike, whether you're in an airport, it's not the same. We understand. You know where I'm coming from, being made fun of, last chosen for sports, not being able to buy anything in a regular clothing store. For years I spent in the Husky shop, my sister was in the Chubby shop, my mother was in Lane Bryant's, my father was in the Short Fat Man shop. We were a fun family. But that's the reality. That is the reality. My mother was in Lane Giant, my sister was in the Chubby shop of Alexander's, if anybody's old enough to remember that, or Mays. And, you know, there was one store that they could fit Huskies, and that was Barney's in New York. I can't afford that. I could fit in their clothes now, but I can't afford them now. But that was the only place. My parents had to schlep me into the city to buy clothes. And the man, it was a very full-service store. They would come and measure you with a tape measure. Oh, my God, I wanted to die. I wanted to die. Okay? I don't have to live like that today. Okay? I go to Florida all the time. My family lives there. I leave clothes down from season to season, week to week, and I come back. Don't think I don't think about it. The shorts still going to fit that I left 3 weeks ago. But by working this program, by doing service and having a food plan and committing myself and coming to meetings, it works. I can get into the shorts. Unfortunately, I have to be, about 7 years ago, you know, some people bring home, you know, souvenirs from Florida. I brought home a pacemaker. Don't ask. But I was there and all of a sudden I was dizzy, dizzier than usual, and, you know, I couldn't get whatever. So they said they couldn't get my heart rate up, so they gave me a pacemaker. To this day, I don't know. I think there was a slow season. The doctor just needed to do something. But anyway, so I have this pacemaker. So now I have to be patted down all the time when I go to the airport. Well, not really, but because I come with a dog, so I can't go through security. They have to pat her down and me, and it's like a whole production. But it's really funny. Only a compulsive overeater would understand this, that, you know, when they're going, I have to go in the band. You're wearing a belt. Now, is that, you know, and I'm going to say, ooh, you can get your hands back there. You know? I mean, it's like only another person would understand that. You know, this Schmendrick that's doing it, they don't know what I'm going through. They don't know I was 100 pounds heavier. They could never get their hands between my waist. There's no way. These are the things, okay? And these are the things and the attitudes and the principles I have to carry outside of these rooms. How I treat others, the staff that work for me, my family, the people, my neighbors, my fellow OAers. You know, years ago when I first started going to conference, you know, my first introduction to a service was being an intergroup. And I was young. I was 19. I went to my first intergroup meeting. It was a bunch of women, you know, my mother's age. They were discussing how much to spend on a postage stamp. You know, this is what they were discussing for OA. Until I realized, you know, other more issues. I did this. I did that. I was a regional member of assembly. I went to conference 10 years in a row. I chaired and hosted many, many conventions. And still being a compulsive overeater. And the realization was, when you're in California, at the time a convention was in California, conference, 365 compulsive overeaters getting up, voting, not who's going up to the mic, and opposing, and questioning, and this and that. And, you know, people, we all were so passionate about the same thing, but we articulated it differently. At the end of each meeting, we stood and said the Serenity Prayer, and then we went to dinner together. Of course, dinner. But I mean, we were discussing things. I maybe didn't agree. I didn't like what you said, but you had a voice. We all have a voice, okay? And we all accepted and moved on. That's practicing these principles in all our affairs. Okay, I just stay with my mother. God bless her. She's 85, but she's my mother. When I'm with her, I'm like 10 all over again. You know, that's just how it is. You know, and I had to grit my teeth so many times and I had to say there, but for the grace, and I'm grateful that I still have her. You know, my friends have had a, you know, their parents are in facilities or they're more impaired than my mother, and, you know, I have to say thank God. I had to say it a lot of times. You know, and that's practicing these principles. I understand you have a problem where you don't feel good or you're feeling sad or you're this or that. Why can't I have that same ear for her or for my sister? Because sometimes it gets a little too much. When is my time? My time is here at a meeting or at a sponsor or my quiet meditation every morning. I make sure to go to the beach and walk. And there are times that I'm, you know, it comes back, those evil thoughts, you know, and those, the things like that, you know, all of a sudden I'm walking with a greater pace and I'm angry and I was like, wait a minute, that's not what you're here for, you know. Then I had to bring it down a notch and realize and just let it go. That's program talking. The principles, the traditions is what keeps our group going. You know, the steps keeps our own abstinence. The traditions keeps the program going. It's the glue, as we say, that keeps the program together. Again, we go to intergroup, we go to regional assembly, we go to World Service. It's the only organization that's unorganized but organized. But because we have these programs, this 12 traditions and the steps, we're able to maintain and keep the program going and perpetuate it. So the people come after us, you know, and that's what we have to do. So I have to practice these principles in all my affairs. I have to. There are people, places, and things, you know, I'm a compulsive overeater. Anything could set me off. Hungry, I was never hungry a day in my life. I don't know what hunger is. I didn't come from a third world country. Thank God I wasn't in a concentration camp. We didn't have a lot of money when I grew up, but we had food. Food was, you know, it was there. It was there. It's an easy fix. It's easy access. It's dangerous. And anybody who's duly addicted will tell you it's the most difficult addiction to put down. Because at least the minimum, I have to eat three times a day. You know, and I've been in program 135 plus years, and I've been the gamut, and, you know, this program and that program, we all think we're rewriting history. It's 112 and 12 in one big book. There are no food plans. There are no musts. There were groups in my area, you know, we had the How group, and then we had the How intergroup. Then it had to be Hicksville How. Then it was Long Island How. Then it was Basic How. Then it was Queens How. We had all these factions, and they all had their own mishigas, if you will. Everybody had a different way of doing the same thing. Everybody had, it's one program. That's all it is. There was a group, you know, and they said, you can't travel to the, I couldn't go in that car if I wasn't this kind of a sponsor. Really? Okay. You know, but this is the stuff that went on, and some of us that were around know it. I mean, you know, I have to put food in its proper perspective. Yes, I have to be on a food plan. Food is important to me. I like to eat. But, you know, when it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mm-hmm. And somebody in my home meeting says, you know, nobody ever died between lunch and dinner. Very simple. You know, it's true. I get three meals a day. You know, years ago when I first came into program and I lost a lot, most of my weight in the first year, then afterwards it took a little longer. And I went back and somebody said, how'd you lose it? I said, well, I'm on this food plan, you know, in this program, only three meals a day. He said, damn, how many did you want? I swear, as God is my witness, he didn't understand. You know, when you articulate it, when you say it, you only, when you say only three meals a day to the average person, you know, you can't make this stuff up. You really can. But that's what he said. And at that time, I was in the supermarket, you know, and it's the reality is, I didn't have it. I didn't know there was a beginning and an end. Now there's a beginning and an end. There's a morning meal, and after mid, and that's it. Finished, you know, and I can't graze, and I keep saying I don't buy it, I can't eat it. Very simple. These are not anything in the big book. We're all so intelligent in this room. You know, we are the most intelligent group of people ever. We're conniving, we're manipulative, we can hide, we can song and dance, we can rationalize. I can rationalize anything. But I have to be honest. I have to lay my head down at night, and I have to be honest, rigorously honest. It's been 35 plus years of back-to-back. Keep coming back. It's 35 years of imperfect abstinence. I'm not perfect. This is a journey. But can you imagine? I haven't where I would be if I weren't in these rooms. I shudder to think. You know, I wouldn't have made. I would have been on all kinds of medication. I wouldn't have made it this far in my career and reached a point in my life that now I can move on. But I'm still compulsive. I can't just sit and do nothing. So I'm going to do whatever else. But that's okay. That's who I am. You know. I have to practice what I learn in these rooms in all my affairs. You know, I wish sometimes we belong to a lot of organizations outside of these rooms, whether a church or synagogue or condo associations or whatever you belong to, or lodges, and nobody has the cohesiveness or the acceptance or the ability to hold a meeting like we do. You know, as I said, we get through the business at hand, but we understand everybody has a voice. And I may not like what you say, but I won't interrupt you. You know, I'll let you say, and then I'll say what I feel. You know, and none of the organizations are like that. You know, that's why I stopped going to some of my condo associations, because I just, it's not run like this, and I have no tolerance for that, because I know how it could be, and they don't want to hear it. That's fine. I just remove myself from that situation. And that's also program talking. It is a food issue. It's Overeaters Anonymous. Let's not kid ourselves. You know, sometimes we need to talk about food. I don't want to go to a meeting and hear a food log. That's not what I mean. But if I happen to share that, you know, in my eating career, this is what I ate, and move on, fine. You know, that's what we mean. That's, for me, that's recovery. Recovery is working all the steps. It's admitting I'm powerless over food. My life was unmanageable. When I was learning to drive, the steering wheel hitting my stomach. We didn't have tilt wheels. That's how old I am. You know, and I didn't want to be like that. You know, this program has given me my life today. You know, I'm a sun worshiper. Anything that's unhealthy, I like. I'm there. Shopping, sun, eating, whatever. I could be a drinker. I could be a gambler. Very easily. It's not my thing. I mean, gambling, I could really lose more. I could be more involved. And I have to realize, you know, there's got to be an off button for that. Thank you, God, for today. There can be. But food, I don't know. I don't know how many recoveries I have. I don't know. I'm afraid. You know, it's 35 years and I haven't had that celebratory thing that everybody has on their birthday. It doesn't mean anything. You want to go out to dinner? We'll go out to dinner. I don't need that. People say you're not going to have no thank you. That's it. You know, everybody's so health conscious today. Nobody really gives a damn. Everybody really doesn't care. You're not having it? No. Years ago in my early days, you know, my mother was cutting the whatever and serving. Oh, you're not having any. And that really got me. She didn't mean it meanly, but she said she knew I wasn't having it. And I said, you know, no, it's my choice not to have it. I can have it if I want to, but I don't want it. And that's the big difference. You know, I lost weight for every other reason imaginable. You know, the bar mitzvah, this affair, that affair. I wanted to go here, I wanted to go there. It didn't matter. My grandmother would give me a dollar a pound. It meant nothing. That's why when you come to a meeting, you have to give as generously. If you keep passing the basket and not put anything in, you're not going to get anything from this program. You know, you only get in what you put in. You know, and that's just my service spiel, my own stuff. But I have to practice everything I learned in this program, and it avails me the freedom to live outside these rooms. You know, putting the food down, being absent, and having committed food plan, and realizing it's part of my life. You know, am I never going to eat this specific food? Maybe not, but for today, I'm not. If I was on insulin, if I was a diabetic, if I was going for a radiation or chemo or any of the other issues, I would be taking my medicine, so why am I not doing this? You know, it's like I was digging my grave with a fork. And it's sad, you know, my mother, I love her dearly, and she was in program. You know, when I first came in, she was in 76. She lost weight. I came with her. The only reason I went with her, I was learning to drive. She let me drive back and forth to the meetings as practice. And she went to her meeting, and I sat in the back. And it was like a kid's meeting or whatever, and I loved it. I got driving practice, and she got what she needed. She lost weight. And, of course, my father was like, why are you getting all these phone calls from men? And, really, you know, get over it. Anyway, she stopped going, and, you know, what happens when you stop going? So I stopped going. I got my driver's license. Now I could drive to Wetson's and wherever. You remember that? Boy, I'm dating myself. But anyway, you know, and then I didn't come back till 78, you know, and I kept coming back. And this program availed me the ability to be just anonymous. I still protect my anonymity. You know, I choose to. I don't know why. If I really feel somebody struggling, I had worked with a secretary many, many years ago, and she would commiserate about weight and this and that, and I really never broke my anonymity in any of the school buildings I worked with or any of the administrative offices, but for her, I felt the need. First of all, she lived way out on Long Island, so we wouldn't see each other at meetings, you know. So I gave her a pamphlet. I said, here, Janice, you know, if you know, this is it. And she thanked me, and whether she ever, you know, whatever she did with it, that's okay, but I planted the seed. But very rarely do I do that. If I'm sitting on the plane and somebody's with me, I don't. Or if I see them running to get something, I don't. You know, if people want it, they're going to find it like all of us did, whether Dear Abby column or the internet or the Penny Saver or whatever. You know, wherever you find this program or on the website, we're very, you know, digital you know, friendly, we're technologically savvy. You can find this program if you want it, if it's meant to be. And it's only meant to be if you want. You get what you get if you put into it. You know, you can come to as many meetings and sit and sit and sit, but unless you put forth the effort, you know, we say the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. I do have the desire, but once you have the desire, it's a little more involved. You have to do a little more, you know. And I take this disease seriously because I don't want to be bedridden. I don't want to be impaired. I don't want to have to, you know, I go to Florida all the time and I see tons, you know, everybody has a disabled parking permit. They're cracking down on it. And I see, you know, I view, and my sister's physically disabled. She really needs it. And my mother's physically decrepit. Now she's older and she needs it. But then I look at other people that, you know, are seemingly my age and they have trouble walking and they're morbidly obese. They have it for the grace of God, go I. You know, if they weren't so morbidly obese, would they need that parking pass? Or would they need this extra? You know, my mother was in the hospital, and it's amazing that, you know, they were wheeling her in, and they had a large-sized wheelchair. We've come of age, because 20 years ago, we didn't have that. You know, we didn't have that. So, in a way, I don't know if it's a double-edged sword. You know, in the years, you know, now I can go to Target and buy, you know, my size, but I could buy a 48 or a 50 or whatever. 20 years ago, 35 years ago, it wasn't the case. So even though we're being more welcoming to compulsive overeaters, I don't know if we're feeding into, you know, look, we could debate this till kingdom come. But where I am today, I'm grateful. I'm abstinent for today. I can come here and share my hope, strength, and experience and tell you where I was and tell you I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to the hate, the self-loathing, the embarrassment, all of that. I don't want the It's just awful. It's a terrible place to be. You know, I've been doing this program more than half my life, and I remember, you know, growing up as a teen, a young teen, I didn't do any of the things young people. Maybe it's a good thing that I'm still here. I didn't get to the drugs and the alcoholism and the promiscuity and all that stuff because I hated my body. I hated it. I'm not so thrilled with it now, to tell you the truth, but all right. I mean, you know, I still get dressed, but I live alone right now. I get dressed in the dark. Why? You know, or whatever. I don't know. You know, it's only the dog and the cat, but all right. But that's who I am, you know. But, you know, when I think of those days of gym and changing and not changing, or the skins and the shirts, why they ever decided that, you know, you were on one team for the boys, not the girls. Yeah. Now maybe girls, but then it was the boys. You either were on the skins or the shirts, and oh my God, to take my shirt off, I died 100 deaths. Today I don't. I mean, I go to the beach, I go wherever, I go to the gym, I go wherever, I take it off, you know, whatever. This is it. It ain't changing. You know, I'm never going to be a bodybuilder. I'm not going to be an Adonis. I'm just another bozo on the bus, as they say. But I'm abstinent today. And that's what this program has given me. It's given me the ability to take what I learn in these rooms and practice them in all my affairs. And that's the biggest thing I can tell you about this program. I can also tell you it's here for those who want it, not those who need it. Because there are plenty of people out there that need it. But if they don't want it, it ain't going to happen. It ain't gonna happen. So why didn't I stay in 1976? Because I was, why? Who knows? I don't know why. But I can't go back and say why not? I made it, I came in, and I'm sticking with it. I'm afraid to stop coming. You know, it's the saying, we keep coming to meetings to see what happens to people that don't come to meetings. You know, this is very visual. It's a visual, we're not judgmental much, but look, this is a disease you can't hide. You can't hide it. You are or you're not. When you're eating, it's you may not, you know, be stumbling drunk, but you could tell. I've been in many food fogs, and physically, the weight is there. You can't hide it. You know, if it's 90 degrees out and you're wearing a coat, you know, which I did for a long time, that's back then. I don't know what else I can say. I probably spoke longer than I should have, but, you know, this program has given me my life. I mean, I have some pictures. I share them. I pass them around. I don't know. You know, and again, I can let go of the resentments. The one, I'll just show you the one I should have dated, but I'll procrastinate. This is one, ANS. Anybody remember Abraham and Sarah? Okay. All right. I'm not as old as I thought, young as I thought. But anyway, that was like 3 weeks into program. And the story behind that, I had applied to work at the store. They just opened the mall. Pre-program days, they didn't hire me, and I was devastated because I was working at Waldam's. I was tired of slicing locks and eating and sampling. So 3 weeks into program, I went back. My mother, the nudge, said, go back and see. So I went back after 3 weeks in the program, and they hired me. Amazing. I wasn't in the first floor. I was in the basement. They put the fat people in the basement. You know, the hard goods. You know, I was selling luggage. You know, they didn't want me on the first floor with fashion, but that was okay. That was okay. 3 weeks into program, and that's where I worked. And for the next 20-something years, I worked there part-time. But that was 3 weeks into program. So after your first meeting, you get that shot in the arm. It's like the nodding, the acceptance. This is the only place I felt accepted, unconditional love. You know, from the people that I never met before, you know, people of all races and colors and nationalities. I drove down to Maryland for a convention in 1982 with three African-American ladies and me in this big Cadillac. It was Ella's Cadillac. And we shared the drive, and we stopped at rest stops, and boy, did we get looks. Like, what is this little white boy doing with all those? Whatever. But it was a hoot. But, you know, we did it, you know. And when would I have ever gone into an African-American's car? I mean, it's just who it is, you know. We went to meetings in different neighborhoods. I traveled all over. They were the most spiritual. And when it comes to eating, we may have a different skin color, but we're still compulsive overeaters. They may eat something else. I eat matzo balls, they eat whatever. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, it's the substance. And for me, I'm a hardcore compulsive overeater. Because it's not quality, it's quantity. You know, they can make these fancy schmancy desserts, you know, and package them differently. And 35 years, there are things that came out I have never tasted. But I can get just as fat on a Pathmark brand as a Haagen. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. It's the, I can binge on cottage cheese. It shows you how desperate I am. But these are the things that you understand. So all I can say is, you know, this program has given me my life. In the early days, I think it was my life. You know, and people accuse me of, all you do is go to OA meetings. But because of that, it gave me the ability to live outside the rooms. Now I do a lot of other things. And I have a lot of friends. And I'll tell you, the friends I have in these rooms are the same friends I had 30-something years ago. Some of them still abstinent, some of them are not, some of them chose different methods, you know, and whatever they chose, you know, whether they're working or not, I'm still here. I'm still their friends. I love them unconditionally, and that's all I can do for today. I pray for them. If they want it, it's here for them. They want that easier, softer way. There is none. I know it. I know it. I know it. So I'm really afraid to leave. That's why I keep coming back. That's why I stay. Okay? Even if you're not abstinent, even if you're not abstinent physically, emotionally, or spiritually, you're a lot safer to be in these rooms than not. If you're home eating, you're not going to hear anything. I will give one more plug. You need a committed food plan. When I came in, there was one food plan, gray sheet, 301, three meals a day, nothing in between, a day at a time. I didn't die from that. I mean, if you would have told me 35 years ago, there's no food plan, here's a big book of home, I would have never returned. You can't eat the big book. Well, you could, but it's not too tasty, you know? So I needed more. I needed that diet, even though we're all seasoned dieters and we only had to lose weight. I needed that one. That was the hook. That food plan was the hook that got me, and everything else kept me coming back. So I'm just grateful. I'm grateful to everybody here. I'm grateful to the people that do the service, that host these things. These don't happen just by willy-nilly. It's a lot of hard work. But we do it out of love. We do it to protect our abstinence and our sanity. And that's how we can live outside, because we live here. Once we go home today, we're going to be here. How are we going to practice these principles when we get home and the kids are screaming, or the cat litter hasn't been changed, or your husband or wife didn't do what you asked them to do or should have done or whatever? It ain't going to happen. So we have to take what we get here and take it home within. That's what I have to do. So thank you for allowing me to share. Okay, well, now open the floor for sharing. So please, I think